Good afternoon and welcome to the first chakra. It's real appropriate to say welcome to the first chakra because the first chakra has that quality of a house. It's the most structured of all your chakras. It's the chakra that, if I had to describe it, just like a mountain, it seems that it never changes. You look at it, and you stare at it constantly. And it seems like, wow, it never changes. Some of you that go back to, if you've lived in places where there are mountains, you go back and look at the mountains, like, wow, they're always the same. They're timeless. And yet, first chakra does change. It's simply that, like a mountain, when it changes dramatically. So when a volcano comes, and when this volcano comes, it blows off the top of a mountain. You go see Mount St. Helens after it explodes. It's like that mountain changed. First chakra responds to the subtle forces around you. It's just that it's just like water on stone or wind on stone. It just takes a long time to change things. And I want you to think about that. Because we have a very immediate society. We think that things should change like that, with the click of a finger oftentimes. If you have the information you need, things should change right away. Well, first chakra is not like that at all. First chakra is a chakra that deals with survival. You're literally, it fuels the basic energy form of this body on this planet. It is the center, the dynamo, if you will, that allows this physical form to be animated, to act, to survive, literally. And we're going to touch on some of those qualities today. We're going to talk about the meditations you can do to open up your first chakra, and the first chakra's effect on different things, your sexuality, your relationships, the roles you play in society. And how do you get the first chakra to change? First chakra is just, if it's like a mountain, and you got to have a lot of action on it, how do you actually make changes in the first chakra? Those of you who are note-takers, I urge you to take notes. There will be tapes of these classes. They won't be available till after the series is over. And so I encourage you, if you're the type that likes to take notes, to take notes. If there's anything that you miss in terms of meditations, feel free to ask me. Don't hesitate to simply ask me. I want you to have the information. The tapes, as I say, will be available at the end of the series of classes. The first chakra contains the basic identity that you have. Where does it get this idea? Well, where does it get this idea of what you are supposed to be? It essentially is one of the most karmically driven chakras in the whole chakra system. Let's go back for a minute to after your last lifetime. You all remember that. It was such a lot of fun. You died. That's what I can basically tell you about it. You died. When you died, there was a certain reservoir of experience. What was it like to be you? What did you need to do in that lifetime to survive? And you can see, for some of you, if you had a real difficult lifetime, last lifetime, and say what you had to do to survive was to learn to live on almost nothing, say. That was your pattern. That was what helped you to survive. Perhaps you were in a situation where you had very little to eat, where you lived in adverse conditions. Only the people that had no expectations, no desire for luxury, no sense of wanting the world to be in any way soft and gentle, but rather you simply saw the world as a hard place where you had to eke out a living. If you'd had that kind of experience, the energy that says this is what you need to survive, that hard focus, that do with little, don't ask for anything, that energy will be programmed literally into the first chakra area. When you die, that experience comes out of the body literally with you. When you cast off the physical form when you die, the chakra system that you had goes with you. It doesn't just dissipate. It actually just goes with you. And when it goes, and you say we form a, I've heard it referred to as a light body, it's simply another form that you use to move around the astral plane. It's a vehicle to carry your consciousness. That vehicle forms itself from the patterns that exist in the chakras, from the first chakra on upward. And so that light body then, you might say, partakes of the karma of the last lifetime. All of the good things you feel that happened, all the things you did that you feel worked out, all the things that you did that you felt didn't work out and you should forget about, that programming, that list of information is right there within that light body. When you go looking for your next assignment, if you will, that is the criteria that you take with you, this karmic patterning from the last lifetime. So if it was a hard lifetime where it said, don't expect a lot and learn how to discipline yourself, live on a little and you'll do okay, you'll survive. If that's your survival program, you have to remember that when you're looking around for that next lucky person to be your, to create a vehicle for you to be on this planet, you're going to look for someone that has that belief system, that believes that way. And this is something that you need to consider, that when you look at your parents, you're looking essentially at your karma. And I just wanted to just bring that into you. You're looking at the karma, what you think, because of your experience in the last lifetime, that your world should be like. You might say, well, you know, I don't particularly like my parents, actually, so what is that all about? Well, we're talking about the first chakra here. We're talking about survival. And when we talk about survival, the only thing that we have to talk about in terms of survival is the physical form. Because that's the only thing we really have to worry about. The light body, the chakra system, it goes on. So the physical form is what is under scrutiny. The survival lessons of the last lifetime, no matter how extreme they are, they're what you have as a guide to build this next physical form. You want someone with the same, you might say, specifications for a physical form. If you're going to have a tough life, you need someone that can build you a body, for example, that is very resonant. It's resilient. It's not going to be sick a lot. It's going to be able to take a lot of the abuse that goes on. You think life is abusive, for example. It's going to need to take that abuse. In other words, there's a part of you that says, I'm going to have to find me a real strong gene pool. This is the action that the first chakra supports. It says you need, as a first priority, the first priority of life, the first priority of taking incarnation is building a body and a system around that body which will enable it to survive. So the first chakra chooses, literally is one of the most, is the strongest force, I would suggest to you, in the choosing of your parents. Now, this programming in the first chakra may differ from other lifetimes that you've had. In other words, your sixth chakra, and we'll talk about that in 6 months or so, which is an interesting prospect. Your sixth chakra carries memories of all sorts of lifetimes, all sorts of times where you've had very different experiences. But usually the one that programs the particular lifetime, this particular lifetime that you're in, is the one, is the experiences of the lifetime directly previous to it. Some of you often, one of the questions I get most often as a reader is, I'm interested not just in my past lives, but the last lifetime right before this one. Most people really want to know about that. And sometimes I used to look at it and I'd say, well, why? You know, you look at a lot of these lifetimes and it was like, gee, that was a miserable thing. What would you care about that for? Well, part of you are, you're interested in it because it says who you are. who you are as a survival mechanism in this lifetime. So you're drawn. You're drawn to understanding why you had to create this body with this group of people known as your parents, your family. The first chakra contains all the information that you feel is necessary for your survival. Okay, so it contains the basic formulation of how to use your energy. When you think of the first chakra, think of it as this clearinghouse that proportions energy out according to their needs. So, for example, if your first chakra says working is the most important thing because that's how you make money and you survive, the structures in your first chakra are going to emphasize the idea of work. So when someone like me comes along and says, you know, you need to take more time for yourself, less time working, more time, you know, just relaxing, giving to yourself, the mind says, that's a good idea. The first chakra says, we're not going to survive. If you stop working, or if you only work half the amount you're working, you're not going to survive. So that nice advice, which sounds so good or looks so good when you read it in a book, oftentimes when you try to make it actually happen in your life, you find that there's this blockage, there's this part of you that seems to sabotage any attempt you make to have, say, time for yourself or to relax. And you say, why is that? Well, the first chakra can contain a mechanism, as we say, that says, work is the most important thing. Work is the key to survival. And I use this word survival very directly because the first chakra sends an energy through the energy system that says everything that you consider is a matter of life or death, survival or dying. If you don't do what is necessary to survive, you're going to die. So when someone says to you, look, take some time off, you need to rest, you need to relax, your first chakra, if it's programmed that says work is survival, the first chakra hears this as die. Take a day off and die. Now, this is frightening. I just want to say this to you because I look in this room and I see people that try to change, that really push their energy to change and very sincerely do it. In their mind, they're structured in a way that says, I want to change, I know what I need to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I go to do it and it doesn't work. What happened? You need to look in the first chakra because many times there's simply a limiting form there that says if you don't do certain actions, if, for example, your first chakra can contain an idea that says, an identity that says, you're a healer. Your point in this planet is to help other people. Now, sounds innocent enough, but in the first chakra, it gets that life or death shading. And I want you to, it's just when you think of the first chakra, think in terms, it's always in terms of life or death. You're in the body, you're not in the body. You're supporting this body, it's happy, or you're depriving it, it's dying. This first chakra energy puts everything in that dualistic way. It's the most, one of the more dualistic chakras that you're going to run into. When you ask it to change, when you ask it to give up something that it thinks is important for survival, you're saying to the first chakra, I want you to take a leap of faith. See that cliff over there? Walk to the edge, jump off. Now I just want you to think of that image, because when you try to go against the first chakra, that's literally the image it sends to you. It sends that image to you. It's just as if someone said to you, oh, you want to open up your creativity? Go to the edge of that cliff, look down, see how far it is, and then jump off. You'll be fine. Oh, the first chakra says, no, absolutely not. It's your survival chakra. Its whole purpose is to send energies through the energy system and therefore out into the physical body that preserve that body. It's all it cares about. And by extension, it's the part of you that says, we want more of me. We want little children. Everything in the first chakra becomes a matter of life and death. The healer, if it, inside of you it says, to survive you need to be a healer. If you had like karma from the past that says, well, when I took care of people, everybody liked me, I got food, people took care of me, and I was always warm and safe. Well, that image stays with the first chakra. So it says, well, you're a healer. That's your basic identity. Okay. So you got to change it. Say, so you say, okay, well, I'm a healer, but that's my job. And then when I go home at night, I don't want to have to be taking care of everybody, have everything and everybody's needs be my problem. So I want to change that, say, in my relationships. I don't want to have my relationships to my partner or my family be simply about making them feel better. Well, try to change that, and the first chakra says, you're not really a mother. A mother wouldn't do that. You're not really a father. A good father would never, never think of themselves in that way. In other words, it attacks you on a real basic level of your identity. The first chakra contains the identity that you feel you need in order to survive. For example, I grew up with the idea that, and like many men did, that men are providers. You have to go out and work in order to have not only yourself survive, but other people. In other words, your first chakra extends to these other people. You have to work, and you have to work at a job where you can rely on the money that comes into you. In other words, essentially, you got to work for somebody else. So I go in every day, I punch the time clock, I'm in at 8, I'm out at 5. That's the kind of programming that, say, I grew up with, which says, if you do this, you will survive. Your family will survive, your children will survive. So say, you know, so I, when I came time to change that, when I decided that, well, I'm going to work as someone who teaches or someone who does consulting, does lecturing, all of a sudden, that was real frightening. Because all parts of me said, well, that's it. We have our ticket to homelessness right in our hands here. And when I made that transition, when I said, okay, I'm not going to, say, teach in a college like I wanted to do before. I'm going to go out and, say, do readings for a living. The first thing that happened was that everything in my life fell apart. Where I lived, I couldn't live there anymore. All the friends that I knew, that's another thing in the first chakra, the family structure you have, whether that is your physical family, your brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, mother, father, or that extended family of your friends, that's all the first chakra. So when I sat down and said, well, you know what, I'm going to ignore this first chakra advice, I'm going to quit this track that takes me to some lucrative job working in a college, well, then the whole structure of survival went, no friends, people just disappeared. I mean, literally. Just disappeared. You just did not see them anymore. No place to live. All relationships with other people, intimate relationships, forget those. They're gone. And it was amazing. It was like a clean slate. And one of the hardest things I had to deal with was, will I survive this? Some of you have gone through this and will go through this. When you make some basic change in the programming that you brought with you, you're going to go through a period of time where your survival is, in your mind, in doubt. Where is your next dollar coming from? Those of you who intrepidly start off and say, I'm going to be a healer. I'm going to work, you know, by appointment. I'm going to become a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, a masseuse. I'm going to be a social worker, a therapist. Whatever you decided that was healing for you, and you decided to take that pathway, if it was outside of the realm of your programming, if your programming said essentially, what is this healing, metaphysical stuff? Get yourself a job that pays well, that someone else pays you, and you just have to go put the time in. If you are breaking that down, essentially, you can expect that the life as you know it will fall apart. The first chakra is very structured. If you remove one structure in the first chakra, it's all going to fall down. It's all going to fall down. And things will change very dramatically on a physical level. Most of us don't like to change the first chakra because to do so directly affects our life. Directly affects our life. What most of you will see this in is in terms of relationships, in terms of partnerships. First chakra is where your identity in relationship to other people sits. Your sexual identity, your identity as a member of the society. So, for example, are you someone in the society is going to be a mother or a father? Are you a professional in this society? Are you a craft worker? What is your identity in this society? It's all there in the first chakra. So you have a relationship, and in the relationship you have a certain role. You have a certain identity. The relationship supports that. When you go to change that relationship, it can make you feel that your survival is indeed in doubt. Many times people hesitate in getting out of horrible situations, what we would consider abusive situations, simply because what is programmed into them is something such as the following. So say what's programmed into you is, if I accept all the emotional anger from my partner, then I will survive. He or she will be healed, and everything will be fine. And so you get into this relationship, and your partner says, oh, you have that pattern, good. And you become the person the most cussed at, and at the worst, you know, the most hit person on the block. The person starts to abuse you. Most of us sit outside a relationship like that and say, why does she, most of the time a woman, or he, stay in that relationship? What's wrong with them? First chakra says, unless I sit here and take everything my partner gives me, I'm not going to survive. If that's your programming that's in there, in the first chakra, it is very, very hard. You have to literally, as many people go through, you have to almost literally die. You have to get cracked in the head by this abusive person to some point where you wake up in the hospital and you say, I almost died. Maybe this strategy of survival isn't working. That's why I ask you to, you know, when you look at situations that involve relationships, you're looking at situations that involve identities established in the first chakra. I'm the healer. I'm supposed to take whatever my partner gives out, because then he'll get tired of being angry, and then he will be the person I always want him to be. Okay. These patterns are established in the first chakra. You can come in with a pattern in the first chakra, but have it supplanted by the influence of the people around you. For example, most of you who are gay, when you came into this body form, well, all of you really had this programming in you. This was your identity on a sexual level. That's in your first chakra. So I'm a gay man, I'm a gay woman, it says. So you come in, here you are, you come in with your gene pool, and you come in to your parents. Very few people say, oh, look, our child's gay, let's celebrate. They don't. In fact, they look around. They look around and say, is he exhibiting homosexual tendencies? You know, and you think about it, because, for example, I grew up, I was thinking this the other day, I grew up, and as a child, I liked, I mean, you know, a seven-year-old child likes Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, Judy Garland, and I'm listening to this, you know, and then, of course, on TV, you know, anytime the gay men are portrayed, what are they listening to? Judy Garland, Ella Fitzgerald, you know? So you got your family, like, looking at you like, boy likes this kind of funny music. Money likes something manly. You know? So you get this push, for example, whether you're gay or not, you get this push that says you have to fit in. In other words, it says, you know, if you come in as a gay person and all around you, the signs say, you know what, gay people don't survive in this culture. tendency is that you're going to try to take on the programming of people that are around you. You will adopt, in other words, a programming that says, oh, I'm a woman? Sure, I want to grow up and have kids and a husband. Yeah, that's it. Sure, that's what I'm supposed to say. Okay. You watch little kids sometimes. It's really funny when you ask children questions about their first chakra. What do you want to be when you grow up? Watch the child. They look at you. They look in your first chakra and they says, what should I say? What will, you know, make it okay? What will make you leave me alone? You know, be satisfied with this answer. And if they look and say, and it says, oh, I want to be a father and have a pretty wife and, you know, this and that and kids. Well, most kids will come out with that answer for you. They'll bring that answer right out. And so you grow up. And you have this programming that says, in order to survive, you must be a heterosexual man or woman and have this need to have children, etc., etc. And then, as always in the first chakra, remember, when the first chakra changes, when something in the first chakra breaks down, it is pretty cataclysmic. So there comes that one day when you realize that by trying to live out this pattern of being a heterosexual, you feel like you're dying. You feel like you're being strangled, whether you're in a relationship or whether you're just trying to, you know, just hide what you feel from your parents or your colleagues or whatever. It gets to the point where you say, like, I'm going to die unless I say who I really am. And so, as is popular now, you come out, at least to yourself, and you say, you know, I'm a gay woman, I'm a gay man. In other words, you go into your first chakra and you reprogram it. And then you go home and you say, you know, Mom, Dad, I am gay. And then usually a lot of things happen. People start saying, you know, you hear people saying, and literally I've heard people tell me, well, my father said he's going to kill himself. First chakra reaction. My identity, you know, first chakras in families are connected identities. So your father says, I'm the father, this is my son. We're good heterosexual men. You laugh. You know, you might laugh at that. But this is where the first chakra is. It's very, very, this is who we are. It's tribal. Your tribal identity literally is there. If you look around and you say, hey, I'm an Armenian and I'm proud to be an Armenian, that is in the first chakra. Those ethnic identities, our basic connection to people on a physical level, the race we are, the nationalities we exist, our sexual identity, first chakra. So the father says, me and my son, two strong heterosexual males. And the son says, hey, Dad, I'm gay. Well, he's not just saying my first chakra is different. By extension, dad's first chakra is different. You know, you often wonder, your parents say, what did I do? Did I do something to make my son gay? People will actually ask me this, you know, metaphysically. They'll say, did I do something on an energy level to do this? And they're asking this question because their identity is tied into your identity. You've just changed your identity radically. You have just changed the structure in your first chakra. And just to beat that horse again, the first chakra is the most structured chakra. Anytime you change the basic identities, the basic thought patterns found in the first chakra, everything around you will change. So when you say, you know, I'm gay, and the family says, where did I go wrong? And, you know, everybody's weeping, and everybody's, you know, feeling like their whole life is a disaster. And part of you says, you know, I'm just saying that I'm gay. I'm not saying that, like, I kill and eat little children or anything. What is the issue? The issue is you've affected the first chakra of everyone. And so things are going to be dramatic. Kids see this all the time. You ask your parents to do something, you know, if you can do something, and they say no, and you keep bugging them about it, and they have no real particular reason that you can grasp that makes any sense. And you keep bothering them, and finally, you know, your mother or father says, you know, I'm your father, and I say so, period. That's your first chakra. Your first chakra, his first chakra is speaking to you directly, right there. And it is saying, my identity is this. You are connected to my identity, and therefore I define it, and you are my daughter, you are my son, therefore you obey me, period. All that kind of structure is in your first chakra area. when you fool with it in any way, you fool with the very fabric of your connections to people. So, say you marry somebody, and everybody likes them in your family. They become part of the first chakra connection. Here we are, we're a loving family, so-and-so is such a wonderful husband, wife, etc., etc. And many times they come into the situation where everybody thinks that this person is great, except for you, who are married to them, and you think that you start to believe that, you know, they are the devil incarnate. And so, you know, you're really suffering, and you finally, you say, I want a divorce. And you get the similar reaction of saying, I'm gay. Everybody says, like, oh, how can you break this up? It's such a, you were such a wonderful couple. And, you know, and you hear the parents and all these people around you are weeping, and you say, look, they're not the ones that had to live with this person. They're not the ones that are going to have to adjust. Why are they so upset? Their identity is tied into yours. We are two loving parents. We raised a sensitive, loving, heterosexual male child, and he in turn has found a loving, heterosexual female to marry with and to have children with. And now they're not. Your whole foundation, think of the first chakra as the foundation of your life, of your identity in this lifetime. Anything that changes it, changes the entire look of the house. Sometimes the house just, boom, 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 falls down in and of itself. This idea of children, some of you have gone through this with parents. The parents say, in order to be a mature individual, to show that you are going to survive and that our line is going to survive, you have children. We had children. You will have children. Yes. And, you know, and so they wait, and so you're 35, 37, 38, 39. And finally somebody says to you, oh, gee, don't you think you should be having, think about having kids now? You know, you're not getting any younger, and this and that. And you say, well, Mom, well, Dad, you know, I just don't think we're going to have children in this lifetime. Oh, how could you say that? How could you say that? I've always wanted grandchildren, and these people, you know, you see people, the parents that just are devastated. And you think, they're devastated. What is going on here? Their first chakra, their identity, says that in order for me to be a successful parent, I have to raise someone that wants to do what I did. That is, have children. And if I don't, it means that my identity is called into question. Anytime you question someone's identity, you are going to get a big explosion from 99% of the people. There are those enlightened 1%. But basically, most people, they are not going to be pleased with you at all, in any way, shape, or form. Because you're not simply saying, oh, you're not simply posing the question of, oh, maybe you can be a successful person even if the children you raise don't want to have children. You're saying to them, I'm not going to have children, therefore you're not going to fulfill your karmic destiny, you're not going to survive. Remember, the first chakra, any issue of the first chakra is life or death. You have a child. You always thought your child had a great talent to be a doctor, and so you send him or her to, you know, make sure they get extra science classes, you know, you expose them to other doctors, this and that. You send them to college, they're pre-med, and then the big moment comes, they apply, they get into medical school, and the child says, you know, I decided that I really would like to work with puppets. I want to have a puppet show. You know, like, you see me out in the street, I have a puppet show, and I'm real good at it. You know, and maybe, you know, and maybe you are. Maybe you've been doing puppet shows, and then the kid, neighborhood kids laugh, and everybody thinks it's great. And the parents just fall apart. They say, no, my identity was tied up and my survival was tied up in the idea that I saw what you could be. You're a doctor and you become a doctor. Those of you who've done something for your parents, who became something for your parents, understand this. You say, well, you feel, some of them are very sensitive and you feel the connection and you feel like, boy, my mother, my father really wants me to be a doc. And you become it. people like this come to me all the time, and they say, you know, I look at them and I say, you know, you're very successful in your profession, and you're extremely unhappy. You feel like you're going to die. And they say, thank you, thank you. Everybody just looks at me and says, oh, I'm such a great, wonderful, compassionate doctor. And they say, why can't I ever admit to anybody that I hate this work? I never want to do it. And many times you'll look and say, well, you have a mother or a father whose whole accomplishment in life, whose whole validation of their identity is that you became a doctor, that you became a lawyer or some kind of professional. This is something that if you are sensitive and you perceive that your parents have a great deal at stake in what you are, many of you will simply not change. Your minds will try to change. You'll look and say, you know, I could, you know, really be, you know, the next Jim Henson in terms of puppets, you know, if you want. Well, I won't go into Jim Henson, never mind. You may think that, but inside of you, there's a part that every time you go to change it, would find some way to sabotage it. And those of you who've tried to change sometimes, and you say, well, okay, I'm tired of working, you know, the same kind of boring job that's very steady and predictable. It's 9 to 5. I'm going to break out on my own. I'm going to either work for myself or I'm going to do something that requires me to have real flexible hours. I'm going to do that. Everybody says I'm a great artist, that I paint, that I do wonderful, say, stained glass, so I'm going to make up all this stained glass and start going around the flea markets and selling it. That's what I'm going to do. And so you find it really, you start, you get a great enthusiasm about this, and people encourage you to say, yeah, I always thought you were unhappy. Yeah, yeah, go do this. So you start to work, you know, and then you're working, and the first thing you do is, you're cutting the glass, and you make this big slash in your hand. And it's bleeding. You go to the hospital, they stitch it up, and they say, well, you're not going to be able to use that hand for 6-7 weeks. And you say, like, great, I just get started, you know, here I'm finally gung-ho, I want to do this, and now I cut my hand. And those of you that have repeating patterns of you start to do something you've always wanted to do, and then things just start falling through the floor, remember, you're working with a first chakra that probably has exactly the opposite attitude that you were trying to portray. You're working, say, with a first chakra that says, people that try to make a living from their own creativity, that's another word for the homeless. Okay? That's another word for the homeless. You don't do that. Get someone else to support you. And you may not think that. The programming is there in the first chakra. The first chakra programming guides what the body does. It is the first chakra has a very specific rhythm to it. And when you disturb that rhythm, it will literally cause accidents. Most accidents are caused by people fighting with their first chakra. This is something I'd propose to you as a thought to banter around. That most of the accidents that happen because someone is going against what their first chakra thinks is necessary for survival. The accident is a wake-up call. The first chakra says, keep doing that, and you'll see that you will die. You almost bled to death, you cut your hand, you'll see what's happening next. First chakra, black and white world. You meet people that think in terms of black and white, you're meeting people that have a strong first chakra view of the world. Many people, I grew up with immigrants. My both sets of grandparents were immigrants. While not all immigrants are like this, many of them are very first chakra orientated. So you go to my Ukrainian grandfather and say, look what I did. And he said, and he'd look at it and he'd say, how much they pay at you to do that? And you say, oh, nothing, we just do it, you know, for fun. And you could tell the look on his face, like, why would you do something that someone's not paying you for? Why would you invest your time and effort into something that's not supporting your survival? When I was younger, one of the things people most feared about me was that I would be a musician. was a great fear in my family. Because, you know, you have these immigrant grandfathers, and there was music actually in our family, which I found out later, very seditiously. There was like all these people actually in my family that played instruments. It's just no one would admit it to me. Because they said, God forbid, you know, he'd be inspired by somebody. So, you know, you'd go and I start out playing guitar, and you'd go play guitar or your, you know, just to make that, when you're a teenager, a lot of times it's just like, you don't think I'm going to play this and make a lot of money. A lot of times you're thinking like, wow, I can play this. I can make this song. I'm expressing myself. You know, you're a teenager. You want to express yourself. And, you know, my grandfathers would be like, well, can you make money doing that? You get paid doing that? And what changed everybody's attitude was, I said, fine. I started to go out and get work as a musician. And people would, and I'd say, yeah, I worked twice this weekend. I made $50. And boy, you'd see the energy change. Oh, you made it $50? Oh, he's okay, you know? And it went from, like, you're going to be a musician to, like, hey, he's okay. He's a musician. He's making $50. I have to work two shifts at the plant to make that. So people changed when you could show them things on a first chakra level. Any of you who've ever proven yourself to somebody, you've done it on a first chakra level. So you got together, say you got together with someone's son or daughter, and the family just looked at you like, we think you're a waste of skin. And you work hard, and you work your way up through the company or your own business, and you become a success. And many times, then people will say to you, well, you know, I never really liked him, or I never really liked her, but, you know, he's a really good provider, or, gee, she's a really good mother. She really takes care of those kids. And so you pass the test, the first chakra test that was given. Many times in a family, you have to prove yourself on a first chakra level. And if you have to prove yourself, I would ask you to think that you really don't have the same patterns as the people whose family you're entering into. So if they look at you and they are looking at you like, I don't know whether you're worthy of my son, my daughter, you can be assured that whatever their first chakra patterns are, you don't have it. Because if they saw a match, it'd be all right. And they'd say, you match the pattern that allows us to feel that our line, our gene pool will survive through you. First chakra, survival, your survival. Next, survival of your line, your physical line, your lineage, your gene pool. It is very important to the first chakra. Anybody that has that, who develops that kind of relationship with another person, in other words, they're part of my gene pool, whether they're literally that because they're a sexual partner, or literally because they're a friend, or because they're a friend of yours. If the first chakra develops an identification with them, that connection is extremely solid. You become part of the fabric of that person's, other person's survival. What happens to you, therefore, happens to them. The first chakra has extreme energies in it. When the first chakra is challenged, extreme energy comes through it to meet the challenge. If you anger someone and you anger them on a first chakra level, if you somehow deny them the identity they think they should have, or you change, as we were talking about earlier, change your identity such that it affects theirs, you will get an explosion from the first chakra. The first chakra wants things to remain relatively the same. The part of you that likes tradition, and not simply likes it, oh, isn't that nice, but likes it because it allows us to survive, is the first chakra. First chakra. So if you have the kind of family that one day when you, you're going there for Thanksgiving and you say, hey, Mom, you know, instead of turkey, why don't we have salmon this year for Thanksgiving? And everybody in the family acts like you just said, let's tar and feather your grandmother. You're looking at a first chakra issue. Turkey is part of our tradition. Our traditions are what help us have an identity and therefore survive in this chaotic world, and you want to have salmon. I'm using these examples that are in some ways ridiculous because I want you to see that the first chakra, no matter how trivial something is, immediately puts it in the category of life or death. If we have salmon on Thanksgiving, the world will go to hell. I just want you to just think of that. People get trapped in the traditions oftentimes, and they're hard to change because they become identified with the first chakra, identity, and therefore survival. Your pets are walking little first chakras, okay? So when your cat or dog, it's 5 o'clock, and you feed that pet every day at 5 o'clock, and one day you're not feeding that pet at 5 o'clock, you're doing something else, and it's staying there looking at you going, and it's so annoying, and you're saying, gee, here's this little thing that weighs like 10 pounds. I weigh 170 pounds, and I just feel like I'm falling, you know, I can't stand up against it. What is the problem? You're dealing with first chakra. Your cat, your dog is saying, if I don't eat at 5 o'clock, I die. My identity is I'm the creature that eats at 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock. I am not eating, therefore, my identity is in doubt. My identity is connected to you, therefore, I'm coming to you and saying, feed me now. And if you wonder why, you know, something so small can many times be so annoying, can get in your space so strongly, there it's a first chakra cord to you. Your cat is not saying to you, hey, it would be nice to have a little liver, you know, some like little new potatoes, you know, let's have a varied diet. Your cat is saying, I want to eat. It is survival. You must feed me now. And that's its basic pulse to you. Your pets, if you ever wonder, like, what is a first chakra like? Look at your pets. They like routines. We get up every day at the same time. If you're not, you know, little Patches or little Fido is throwing themselves against the door with an energy that is so desperate. And you say, so you get up at 7:05 and you come and you let out the cat, feed the dog, whatever you're doing. What is the problem? Well, the problem is that this is a little first chakra, and the little first chakra says we have routines that ensure our survival, and one of them is every morning we get up at 7 o'clock. It's not 7, it's 7 o'clock, and you're not up. Our survival is threatened, so boom, boom, I'm throwing myself against the door in a panic. Your first chakra is where your panic comes from. Those of you that suffer panic attacks, those of you who feel panic by situations, you're looking at something that is threatening an identity in your first chakra. So, for example, if you're at a party and every time your partner goes and talks to this particular gal or fella, and inside of you, you feel this panic come over you and these palpitations in the heart, and you're like, oh my God. And you say, but why am I so upset? This is just their colleague from work they're talking to. Well, I would pay attention to that, because if your first chakra is panicking, if you're feeling panicked whenever your partner or someone is talking to this other person, you're looking at the fact that this first chakra connection you have with your partner is in jeopardy. And part of you is saying, oh my God, this is it. That guy or that gal is gonna take my partner away. And that upsets your whole sense of identity. I find that a lot, actually, in terms of religion. So there's a partner, and one partner will say, come here and start to meditate. And it throws the other partner into conniptions. They start saying, they become violently opposed to anything to do with meditation. And the other person will say, why? You know, and usually what you're looking at is they see that you are going to change your first chakra. You're going to stop seeing yourself, for example, as only a healer. That is not your only identity. Or perhaps you're going to stop saying to yourself, well, I'm a woman, and therefore my identity is in a family. I take care of everybody. I feed everybody. You know, that's just what women do. You're going to change that. And you're going to facilitate that change through meditating, through gaining information here at this place. And so therefore, the partner that's going to be affected by that, you know, says, this place is evil. It's affecting my very identity by my partner going there. Because the first chakra deals with life and death, it is part of your sexual energy. If you wonder why there's such a connection between the idea of sex, death, etc., it's in the first chakra area. Your sexual feelings come from your first chakra are the very most basic ones. The attractions, there's a whole set of attractions that are programmed into the first chakra, which I find really go beyond, you know, really go beyond simply procreation. For example, you might look and say, inside of my first chakra, there's a pattern that says, you look for a partner that is real, physically strong, you know, and has, like, a good amount of body fat, because that's what it's needed for childbearing. You need a real strong woman, you know. So say, you know, I have that programming in me. But lo and behold, I grow up and I figure out, geez, I'm a homosexual man. It's not that that program changes. You just simply start looking for that strong man with a good amount of body fat that's very steady and very, you know, just very direct and says, now look, I know you're upset, but it's okay, and we'll take care of this, you know. And you'll see these patterns repeat. In other words, what you feel is necessary, for your survival, will also be part of your sexual attraction. It gets tied to sexual attraction simply because the first chakra's whole point of view is you got to survive. Nothing's going to happen to you. No evolution, no nothing's going to happen unless the physical body survives. In order to do that, it needs certain things. It needs to continue its line, for example, on a physical level, or at least if not through children, at least through your connection with others. And so it's going to tie the survival instinct into an idea of attractiveness. So when you think of your partner, think of people you're attracted to, and I'm not talking about mental attractions. We'll talk about that with the sixth chakra. It's real different. The first chakra attraction is real basic physical attraction. When you look at the physical type of person you're attracted to, you're looking at the first chakra. You're looking at the first chakra. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you say, well, you know, I'm a gay person. I'm not going to, you know, particularly have children with my partner, or you're a heterosexual, so I'm not going to have children. If inside of you there's a part of you that says, women with big breasts, good childbearing woman, even if you're not having children, you're going to find that to be an attractant, okay, inside of you. You're going to find yourself drawn to that kind of person, even if your real intention is not to have children, because the basic idea of what is needed is contained in the first chakra. The first chakra literally will attach the energy of procreation to certain characteristics that it thinks will ensure the propagation, the survival of the species. So I ask you to think about that. You're looking at your partner, you're looking at your first chakra. You're looking at your first chakra. So if, and I always say this to people, because sometimes you'll get into a relationship where you have one partner that's like, everything's always fine with that partner, you know? It's like, hey, you know, the side of the house fell in. Someone just drove a car in through the garage door and broke it. That's okay. We'll get it fixed. And the other partner's like, what do you mean, that's okay, we'll get it fixed? Who the hell is this asshole? Drove the goddamn car through the goddamn door, and he gets real excited and says, what the hell are we going to pay for this? What's going on? And you say, everything will be fine. And everyone says, gee, John or Mary is so calm while the other person is always so excited. Well, when in those situations, I don't say one is calm and one is excited. It's just simply that the first chakra of one person says, I need to maintain a calmness in order to survive, and so I need to find someone that expresses the normal angers that come in day-to-day life, and so I found, you know, little Mr. So-and-so or little Miss So-and-so, who's just such, you know, who just seems to blow up at every, you know, every little thing. I found this person. When you look at it, you're looking at your first chakra and its needs. Do you need someone to express your emotion so that you can remain calm and deal with the issues of survival? Do you need someone who gets upset so that you basically don't miss out on, you know, that you basically pay attention to things? This is, again, in your first chakra. Kundalini energy comes from the first chakra. Good to mention Kundalini energy here because it's the strongest force identified with the first chakra. First chakra generates Kundalini energy when it wants to shape the world around it. Now, if you've been listening to me and you hear me say the first chakra changes slowly, you know that when it decides to change, it's going to have an energy that has a real pop to it in order to make things change. So Kundalini energy is a force from the first chakra. It not only contains a creative element, it contains a very destructive one. It's coming out of the first chakra. The first chakra says, boy, all structures have to be made super strong in order to last. So if we're going to take one down, we need an energy that destroys. So the Kundalini has a very destructive quality to it. It likes to create, but in order to create, it will first clear the decks. It's like the wrecking crew in some ways that comes in and says, we're building a new house here, so tear this one down, and it tears things down. It is the strong force of the first chakra. It is the way the first chakra approaches change. Good example of first chakra change. You have a couple, they're happy, their life is going on, and they run their Kundalini energy together, and lo and behold, little Johnny is born 9 months later. Changes their life pretty dramatically. First chakra likes to make changes by interjecting physical changes into your environment. So when the first chakra wants to change, the first thing that it does is it creates a baby, for example. Creating a baby means that all sorts of things in your life, you have to save money in a different way, maybe you need a bigger house. All these basic first chakra issues have to be addressed. First chakra also changes things in a very dramatic way. Kundalini is a force that is real common among criminal elements. It's used to kill other people. It's a destructive force. This person is bothering me. They are constantly, they've threatened me, they threaten my manhood. I can't handle them being here anymore. Boom, I kill them. Well, changes the landscape very dramatically. First, that person's gone, so technically they're not bothering you anymore. But then, since murder is not looked upon as an act of Kundalini in this country, but rather, you know, not some spiritual change, but rather as a violation of our social compact with each other, you're going to face a great change in your identity, too. Literally, you may be put in jail and branded an inmate, a killer. So when the Kundalini wants to change things, its methods are very dramatic. There's life, there's death. You're either going to affirm life or you're going to affirm death. First chakra issues, therefore, are very frightening to most of us. Pick up yourself, take everything you have, and move to another state where you don't know anyone. Just go do it. I look around this room, I don't see anyone in this room that doesn't have the wherewithal just to do that, that doesn't have the intelligence to just take themselves somewhere else and create a whole other life for themselves. Who's willing to do it? You know, it's like, you know, don't all get excited about it at once. I want you to move to Iowa or Idaho, someplace like that. Join a militia. Yeah. First chakra says, you know, you just don't do things like that. You just don't do things like that. First chakra, if it's going to change, change has to be approached gradually. Again, think of water, water running down rock. It starts to run. After it runs for an hour, there's no change. Runs for days, very little change. Perhaps after a year or so, you start to see a little ridge in the rock where the water's running. And you say, oh, this is great. And you have to wait a long time, oftentimes, for changes to occur in the first chakra. This is why, for those of you that are saying, I want to change where I live, I want to change my partner, I always say to you, be prepared for a long... If I look at you and you haven't, if this is the first time you've even considered this idea, I'll say to you, be prepared for a long journey. The first chakra doesn't change without a whole lot of buildup behind it. It is very, its structures, literally, the energy structures in the chakra are so strong that it takes a very big, you would say, catastrophic energy in order to change them. When your identity is called into question, in other words, when these structures are not functioning at their full capacity, it affects real basic things in your life. If you start to doubt your identity in whatever way, it will affect your relationships, your work, it will affect your connection with your family, where you live. That's why one of the most potent questions you could ask yourself is, who am I? People come in readings and they ask that question oftentimes real cavalierly. And my first thought is, wow, so you're asking this first chakra question as if there's nothing to it. But just to address, who am I, is to address all of the connections on the physical level that you have, all the identities, father or mother, son, daughter, friend, colleagues. You're questioning all of these issues. When you start saying, who am I, and opening up your first chakra and questioning what goes on in there, you're changing the structure there, and so maybe the structure that once supported you having, say, working at the state and being able to work at a very steady way and be happy with the security, all of a sudden, it becomes very hard to be happy with that security. Or it becomes very hard to be happy with, for example, getting only this like little 1-2% raise that they give state workers every year. All of a sudden, all the things that were so appealing in your life, once you start saying, who am I, all those things can start to be called into question. Into question. So the question of who am I is a really potent one and should never be asked just willy-nilly. No, when you ask that question, you're saying, let's open up the first chakra and start going through its itinerary. Let's see what the structures are here. Let's see what makes me, me. And remember, when you start to go through them and you start to change them, your body is going to react as if you're killing it. Most people that go through some kind of first chakra change, whether it's a change in partners or a change in job, it's always interesting to me that sometime during that process of change, someone will come to me and say, I've just been worried that I'm going to die. I don't know what it is. It's just this feeling that I have. Like, I'm going to die. Like, there's a disease I have that I don't know about and it's going to kill me. I just don't know. And what they're really looking at is the first chakra, which is sending out this energy that says, you're changing your basic identities. You cannot survive if you change them. And so it's always good. People are actually happy to hear that because they're afraid they would have had some great disease. Your first chakra, in other words, is what makes things very dramatic inside of you. Just on a more general level, your first chakra is your ethnic identity. You identify with a certain race. So if someone comes up and says, I'm a white supremacist, that's a first chakra. That's a first chakra statement. Just the same as I'm a black nationalist, I'm a member of Hadassah, whatever it is. That is a basic first chakra statement. The first chakra says, I belong to certain ethnic groups, and this is where my strength, our survival, is. And you'll see, some of you have this more than others. Some of you have a stronger, say, ethnic identity. Some of you have a stronger family identity. You know?
Where are the Joneses?
We like that. We like first chakra pictures. Bonanza was great. It's the Cartwrights. It's amazing. You know, Cartwrights could come and go. You know, they bring Hop Singh, that guy in there. All these people.
Where are the Cartwrights? It's Little Joe.
I mean, Little Joe, you know, he went on, you know, to have that other show. Like, was it Little House in the Prairie? Same thing. Family. First chakra. Look, it's a family. We're all identified together. People like that. It's comforting. Most of us have this idea that strong family connections equal survival. So when we see, you know, Hoss pulling Little Joe out of the swamp, it's not just, oh, we're watching, you know, this dramatic rescue on TV. The TV is playing off our first chakra energies, which it does real repeatedly. I'm a mom, and because I care about my children, I always make sure their clothes are very clean. That's why I use Ba-Boom. Now let's see what we've done. First chakra, identity, I'm a mom. So all you other women out there that have that identity, I'm a mom, we got you. And as a good mom, I use this cleaner. Now the first chakra sets up this idea that, so if you don't use this cleaner, essentially your children are going to die. You're not a good mom. Now that's a dramatic part about it, and you say, well, the people who did the commercial say, well, we don't say they're going to die. Well, the first chakra says, in my mind there is this connection being made. This product, good mother, survival. That's how the first chakra perceives things. First chakra looks at information and says, will it help me survive? Will it help me survive? So when it's watching TV and it sees this commercial that says, my bank is Wells Fargo because I care about the future of my family. So if your bank isn't Wells Fargo, basically you don't care. They're all going to die. This is part of the power of advertising. You play to the first chakra. You're playing on people's fear of death. I'm going to do the wrong thing. I'm going to die. I'm going to make a misstep, and I'm going to die. Advertisers use this really constantly to get you to buy their products. It's a matter of life and death. They challenge your identity. Other identities that are in the first chakra, if you're the kind of person that is identified with a city, I'm from Sacramento. We're proud. Everybody laughs. You can have an anti-identity, too, if you want. It's in your first chakra. You read in the Iliad, this war over Troy. Troy is a city-state. All these people risking their life to save this city, this ideal, some of them, for most of them other than Paris, it was this city. Their identification, this is our city. We're willing to fight on a first chakra level for it. Patriotism is first chakra. This is my country. I will fight to the death to defend it. First chakra. These are my kids. Ellie Nestler, first chakra. This guy molested my kid. Boom, he's dead. You live on a first chakra level, you look at that and you go, someone should have done it a long time ago. That's the way the first chakra is. First chakra says, why wait for the law? We know what to do. Children are our future. This guy was messing with our future, my identity, my gene pool. Hell with him. First chakra. First chakra. If you believe in that, she's a hero. If you don't, if you try to look at things at a more sixth chakra point of view,
she's taking the law into her own hands, you know.
She's become what she was against. She's become just like this guy. First chakra doesn't even hear that. First chakra says, you messed with my kid, you're dead. And we like that. How many of you say that? And people go, yeah, that's right. Go to a school board meeting. School board meetings are great. You know,
How can you expose my kid to this faulty wiring and the dripping water from the ceiling?
Life or death. You say, like, gee, you got faulty wiring, dripping water. Fix it. But for this other person, it's life or death.
How can you let my kid read this book that has the word darky in it?
First chakra, racial identity. We are not darkies. And you having a book that says darky immediately, offends us. First chakra. Most of the things that seem to you larger than life are coming from the first chakra. Coming from the first chakra. Basic things. Sports. We need a baseball team in Sacramento. We're a big league city.
First chakra.
Okay. First chakra deals with power through physical connection. We are a family. We are strong. We're a city. We're strong. We're a country. We're strong. Strength through physical connection. When you go to open up the first chakra, if you can take out a lot of the programming in your first chakra, you have all this strength that is normally connected to these very basic essential issues, and you can put it anywhere you like. Many gurus who have a freedom from attachment, and this is something I want you to think about. Many gurus preach freedom from attachment. They're preaching freedom for your first chakra. You don't have to be attached to something and therefore view everything as a matter of life and death. And if you're not attached, then any kind of change you need to make becomes possible. All that energy that you have in your first chakra can go towards making some kind of change. It's traditionally been considered that powerful people in religions are usually celibate people. Why? They don't have connections. They don't have wife to go home to, children to go home to. All that first chakra energy gets used. Ba-boom. Okay? So, it is a strong force that when liberated, you have all this energy you can do whatever you want with. To liberate the first chakra on a real basic level, you have to get over your fear of death. Real basically. Usually, when your first chakra goes to this position, you do something where you have to face death. And before we go into our meditations today, I'll tell you a brief story, my own particular first chakra opening, which was it was a real classic. I look back on it now, I enjoyed it. At that time, I did not, but that's the way spiritual stories are. I was on Mount Vision, which is out in the Point Reyes Peninsula, and there's Mount Vision is formed by the San Andreas Fault, folding up against, the two plates folding up against each other. So a lot of little slumps in there where there are natural springs that feed these little lakes. They're about like, as big as this building across, a couple of those lakes. And if you go there, if you go there in the summertime and it's you're real hot and it's not foggy, you can go and you go swimming there. You go swimming in the lakes. And those of you who hang around Point Reyes, it's great. There's all this water, and you usually can't swim there because the current in the ocean is too bad. So you go, I found these lakes that you could go swim in, I was overjoyed, So it was 1979, so I'm at this lake in Mount Vision, and I'm there with the woman that I'm going out with at the time, and we're sitting there around this lake. There's about maybe 5-6 other couples there, and it's a beautiful day, and I says, well, I'm going to meditate before I go in the lake. And at the time I was just beginning to meditate. Meditation was supposed to be like, and you open your 6 chakras so you can see all the connections, this and that. That's the kind of information I used to get, So I'm sitting there and I'm meditating, and I say, so I put out this energy around me. I says, how can I open up to the energies of today? And this voice comes in and says, you must open your first chakra very wide. And I'm there like, what the hell does that mean? I mean, literally, what does that mean? You open your first chakra really wide, So I said, okay, so I focused on the first chakra, and I, you know, through moving energy, I open it up real wide, and I sit there with it, and on a wide open first chakra, it just feels like you're real planted in that spot. It just feels like you would say you're grounded, like somebody took a stick and, like, pounded it into you, and you're right there in that spot. And that's all it feels like. So I'm there like, well, this is not too esoteric, you know, it's, I'm here. So I say, I'm going to go for a swim. So I get in the water. It's May. It's around, like, May 2nd or 3rd. And, you know, it's not exactly warm, but the water is relatively warm near the surface. Well, so I'm swimming, and I said, oh, I'm going to swim across the lake. As I say, it's about as wide as this building's wide, you know. So swimming across the lake, like, la-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. I've done this, like, a couple summers before, and I get to the middle of the lake, and there's the spring that feeds the lake comes up right in the middle. And those of you know a lot about springs, they're cold. Oh, they are cold. Oh, they're... So I go into the middle of the lake, and it felt like I was wrapped in, like, immediately wrapped in ice. And as normally happens at that time, the body, the muscles just go, oh, and they stop. And my lungs, much to my chagrin, also responding to the lovely cold, just go, oh. And then I just sink. I mean, literally, just like, boom. And it was like, one moment I'm paddling, and the next moment it's like, so I'm going down. And this, all the rest of this happened within a few seconds. So I'm going down, and I realize that there's nobody on the shore. There's absolutely no one on the shore that saw me go down. So here I am in the middle of this lake. I'm freezing. I'm going straight down into the water. And I said, wow, this is it. I'm going to die, you know, because I don't know if you ever sunk in water before, but just, you know, when you're sinking in this kind of bottomless where you keep thinking you're going to hit bottom, but you just keep going down and down and down. You don't know how many feet it is, but your lungs are starting to go, oh. So finally, I hear this voice, the same voice that said, open your first chakra real wide. This deep voice says, do you want to live? What a concept, you know? You know, I'm sitting here, I'm literally almost dead. I'm there like, well, this is it. I'm meeting my end in this lake. I said, yeah, I want to live. And it said, well, you better open that first chakra and start a swimming. And I'm there like, oh, that's great. So I feel this big, hot, white energy at the first chakra just start to push itself up through my body. I mean, literally, I wish I could say to you it was like this big whoosh, but it was truly like, and I could feel slowly this sense of I can move coming back into my arms. And so I just start in any way I can to try to, I don't know if you ever were starting to drown, claw your way to the surface, and you're clawing against the water. So I'm starting to, and I'm just there like, geez. And all the time there's this real strong, firm, white energy just coming up through my spine from the base, and like it seems like maybe 4 or 5 years later I break the surface of the water, and it's like, ah, and I'm laying there on the surface of the water, and I think, you think, oh, my troubles are over. I look around me, and I'm exactly, you couldn't even have measured it more, I'm exactly in the middle of the lake. So any way I go, it's the same distance. And so I began the most painful dog paddle of my life. You know, like some old arthritic dog. And the only thing that is literally keeping me going is that there's this kind of hum, this kind of energy from the base of my spine that just is like barely, I wish I could tell you it was like, and I swam with strong, clear strokes. But it was truly just like, And I was afraid to stop swimming because I figured if I stop swimming, just kaboom, that's it, I'm going to sink. So I had to keep going until finally I could feel, you know, like a little bit of rock, you know, underneath me. And I try to stand up and I collapse. I crawl over to this rock and I'm lying there on this rock like some lizard that's been thrown up, you know, some ancient lizard, you know. And I have hypothermia, my fingers are blue. My whole body is blue, and I'm shaking. And I'm laying there on this rock. It takes me at least like 20 minutes of just sucking up the heat from this rock. And I have to walk through all these brambles naked to get back to where I was. And I get back there, and my girlfriend at the time says, where were you? And I'm it's just like, you know, it's at that time where you just say, like, you know, you don't even want to know. And so then I said, well, I almost drowned. And then you get that reaction from people that they start, like, the drama's over, but now they're going to get upset. And she was getting real upset. And I'm sitting there freezing with this towel around me shaking like this, and that voice comes back again that says,
see, I told you to open your first chakra real wide.
And it was like, yeah, I get the message. And the first chakra is basically that. It's that basic element in you that says survive. It is the part that pushes you against all odds. It's the part that when you're about to give up, it's the part of you that just says, no, we're here, we're in a body, let's not blow this. You know, you made it this far, don't stop. When you connect with that, what happened to me there was I learned to use my first chakra more consciously, to take its energy and direct it where it needed to go. And it gave me the kind of power. It was after that I began to do healing work, that I began to do a lot of energy work with people, because literally I could free my first chakra up from simply going right into my survival to supporting the survival of other people, using that powerful force that helped me to survive to basically help people change. Whether you use it for other people or you use it for yourself, once your first chakra becomes something that is not just programming, but rather responds to your personal immediate needs, it becomes a strong ally in your spiritual pathway. Now, there are a few basic exercises that open up the first chakra, and I want to give you them now, and we'll do them for a little bit before we go today. The first chakra responds to physical stimuli. So the first meditation that I would ask you to do to develop the first chakra is this. Focus on your spine. Go down to the very base of your spine, to where the spine ends. Try to find that with your mind. Even if you have to, like, walk yourself down your spine, in other words, find a place in your spine that you can focus on, and then imagine your mind just walking down till you get to the very end. Now, when you're at to the very end, I want you to just imagine you're taking your fingers and just starting to squeeze the very end of your spine. Just like you're pulsing it. Just like you're just taking your hand and squeeze and open it and squeeze and open it. Now, this is something that most people say, why would I do this? Well, this literally starts to stimulate the kundalini energy, which can create that strong force for change. And it also stimulates the first chakra to, you might say, it begins to clear the first chakra of its programming and open it up to responding to what you want it to do. So you take the hand and you squeeze it, literally, the psychic hand. It's something that it's not like one of those esoteric things where you sit there and you focus on one place and you try to breathe a certain way. All you have to do is keep your focus at the base of your spine and begin to squeeze. Imagine yourself squeezing the base of it. When this works, you'll start feeling chills that go up your spine. You'll start feeling a light kind of little buzz that goes up the spine. If you want to be really... Most people don't want to do this for all sorts of odd reasons. If you imagine that your head is going down and that you're putting your head into your abdominal area and that you can reach down with your teeth and grasp the end of your spine with your teeth and hold it there. If you can hold that visualization, you will get a very strong response from your kundalini. Most people don't like to do that. But if you can do that, it's akin to the taboos we have about blood. You know, a lot of voodoo work works with simply doing things that are taboo, like drinking blood. This reaching down with the teeth and grasping this area with your, imagine yourself grasping it with your teeth, is something that, I think falls in the same category. probably because the first chakra is connected with the idea of the genitals. It's like, genital energy in my mouth. You know, so we have all sorts of problems with it. But you are literally making this connection, this circuit in the Kundalini between the fifth chakra, which is the chakra that, other than the second, has the most success with stimulating the Kundalini energy. You make that connection, and you provide you with an interesting stimulation. It simply gets it clears the programming that's in the first chakra, and it opens it up having a different direction, so that you can, let me put it this way, so you can direct the energy in your first chakra rather than having it direct you. The second thing that I would ask you to, try today is focus on the area of your rectum. Breathe in. As you breathe in, let the energy collect there at the rectum. Hold your breath, and as you're holding your breath, I ask you to clench the rectum upward as if you're pulling it upward. You can hold. We'll hold our breath for about 4 seconds, and then we'll release our breath and release the rectum. And that's the first chakra exercise that most people can, relate to. So we're going to try to do 10 breaths of breathing in, holding our breath for a 4 count, clenching the rectum upward, and then releasing. This is something else that just helps to clear away programming in the first chakra. And finally today, I'm going to just work with one or two bowls. The first chakra responds to low tones. I'm going to ask you just to focus on that place at the tip of the spine. Breathe in, and we're just going to use the syllable hum. Hum is a real basic first chakra syllable. It has a lot of presence. It says, I'm here. It focuses energy in a very physical way in the chakra so that the chakra can respond to it. The first chakra likes physical touch. Think of having a partner and how the touch of the partner can open up your first chakra, can make you feel safe. Well, hum is that similar kind of symbol, that similar kind of syllable. When it stimulates the first chakra, it gives it a warm, safe feeling. And these are the kinds of things I would ask you to practice for our next meeting. And one of the ones that I'd like to practice two of them with you today. The squeezing your tailbone and imagining taking it between your teeth. I'll leave that for you at home. Since better to do it in the privacy of your own home. Another thing about the first chakra, it likes the idea of privacy. This is mine, that's yours. You stay over there, I stay over here. Property matters, our first chakra matters. I would like to just do with you today the exercise of clenching the rectum and the hum exercise, because they will start you off they will give you the best start. So what I'd like you to do is to take time now. I'm going to ask you to begin this by focusing on your genitals themselves. Most of us focus on our genitals either when they're just functioning, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do, or eliminating things, or they're in sexuality. Very rarely do people say, focus on your genitals with any spiritual purpose. And this is the first new thing you're putting into your first chakra, that focusing on your first chakra is not simply an exercise in physicality, it is as much an exercise in spirituality. So focus on the genitals. I ask you just to take a breath in. Try to take a deep, long breath. When you finish your inhalation, hold your breath. Clench the rectum as if you're pulling it upward, as if there's a string tied to it. And just count to 4. Then release your breath. Try to release it slowly. And keep your focus right on your genitals. You can imagine that you're releasing the breath into your legs and into your feet. And try that again. Breathing in. holding your breath and clenching the rectum for a four count, then releasing. Releasing down your legs. And just keep repeating that. We'll just keep repeating that a few times. First chakra responds very nicely to this particular exercise. Some yoga traditions, they hold the rectum in a clenched position for many minutes at a time, and you can certainly work up to that. It does have its value. But in terms of simply stimulating the first chakra, getting it to a position where it can respond to something else other than the programming that was put into it, all it takes is really this four count that you're using. You start to feel a warmth suffusing that genital area. You're knowing that you're getting your first chakra to respond without there being a life and death emergency to stimulate it. Remember, first chakra gets stimulated by sex, by life and death, by this emergency kind of energy. If all of a sudden now you can just simply stimulate it with your breath, well, you've eliminated the need to, say, meet someone and have sex with them just to make a change in your life and then have to just, you know, get involved in a relationship just to change your life. And then you say, well, my life has changed now and I don't need this person anymore. And then you feel bad that you've in some way used them. Well, if you work with your first chakra this way, you don't need someone to come in and provide the stimulus for you. And you can make your relationships more about, you might say, permanence, or more about being around for a long time, about commitment, rather than simply about healing. Many people sweat with this. This is also a good way to stimulate the whole abdominal area. You have difficulty with your bowel movements, this stimulates the whole structure. If you want to add to the intensity of this, when you're holding your breath and clenching the rectum, imagine your hand going down and squeezing the tip of your spine once with each count. So as you count 1, 2, 3, 4, you squeeze it 4 times. This adds to the intensity of the meditation. Some people don't like their first chakras to change that quickly, and so would find that a little frightening. Others of you would just say, yeah, let's go. And with your next breath, let's just take a normal breath. And as you exhale, and when you get done your inhalation, instead of clenching the rectum, I ask you just to take the syllable hum and sound the syllable hum right at the base of your spine as you exhale. Take a breath with me. Hum.
Om.
Let yourself breathe normally for a moment. Just notice the energy in your first chakra. Is there a warmth to it? You found that when you were breathing and humming, if you were finding your body swaying, if you find yourself getting into that kind of spiraling that comes up from the spine, moving back and forth, here's starting the Kundalini energy move. The energy of the first chakra feels like a warm, wet electricity. It doesn't have an edge to it. It more has a roundness. Its power comes more from the depth of its sound rather than from the edge or the high-pitched nature of its sound. To give you some examples of first chakra kinds of sounds. this next month, I'd like you to practice this meditation with the hum and meditation with clenching the rectum. Meditating with the first chakra is not something that where you see the results so much when you're meditating, but rather I want you to watch the results it makes in your physical life, because it will make changes in your physical life. And I want you just to note them, because there are certain aspects of our lives that we consider essential for survival. Perhaps it's our job, perhaps it's our partner. Then you're doing these first chakra exercises, you'll begin to affect these areas. And it's just good for you to notice which areas in you become affected, because they'll tell you, well, this is an area that's connected to my first chakra. So if all of a sudden you start having big feuds with your neighbors and you say, oh, how can I live in this crappy neighborhood, blah, 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 you know that where you live is connected to your first chakra. That's part of your first chakra idea. And so I just want you to try to get an idea of what kinds of structures are affected by your first chakra and are therefore necessary for your survival. Because then when you go to change these, for example, when you simply go to move from that bad neighborhood and you can't find a place to live, you'll understand, first of all, why, and you'll know where to go to change the structure right to the first chakra. So this will start, if you do these exercises, it will start this program of opening up the chakras, which we're going to go through for the next 7 months.